Bibles and I turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22 tonight. And as warning, buckle your seatbelts. I've got a lot of things to go through tonight, so I'm going to be moving a little fast. But want us to get some important principles tonight. But tonight we're going to look at governing a child. Governing a child. And so this is a little bit of follow-up. If you're with us for the Friday night Bible study over about 4 weeks. We ended it 2 weeks ago, or a week and a half ago, I should say. And this is a little bit of a follow-on. The last lesson was about discipline, how our children need to be taught discipline, how important it is. Now, right here tonight, we're going to be looking at how to practically implement some of those things. But mainly, how do we as parents, also as maybe a ministry worker in Sunday school or children's church, and mainly I'm talking to parents tonight, how do we govern a child? Now, how many parents knew here tonight that children need to be governed? How many knew that? Well, the govern means they need to have some control on them, right? Because, we've seen children that just run rampant and do whatever they want. But we know that children need limits. Children need boundaries. Children need discipline. Now, an example of this, but there is something important about this. Are we willing to put in the work for it? Because I think all of us in here want disciplined children. We all want children that sit up and look nice and act right and have manners and say please and thank you. We all want those things for our children. I think all that's universal. But are we willing to put in the work for them? Invariably, at many Christian schools across the nation, and it's happened at ours and many others, that parents bring in their children and say, hey, we want our children to be disciplined. We want them to be in a disciplined environment. We want them to learn the Bible. We want them to learn godly character. We want them to be in this disciplined environment. And I say, okay, well, that's wonderful. But there are going to be times when that child is not going to be in compliance with the discipline that is taught. Oh, that's fine. But then when the children and the parents get into that and they begin to learn those things, and then when the child begins to have some discipline problems at school and is rebelling against that, it's the parents who say, well, aren't your rules a little strict? Aren't those rules a little overboard? I mean, aren't you expecting a little too much? You know what those responses prove? That parents aren't willing to put in the work to bring discipline in their children's lives. But tonight, are you willing to put in the work? And in Proverbs 22, verse number 6, a verse that we use all through the Bible study, and a verse that is very important, that children will go in the direction you point them. Whatever direction you're pointing them in, that's the way they're going to go. And we have a responsibility as parents, grandparents, and future parents, that you have a responsibility to make sure you know from the Word of God what direction you're going to point them. So tonight, if we could stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Proverbs 22 and verse number 6. Proverbs 22 and verse number 6 tonight. And God's Word says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, that is an important truth, and we think of that in the good, the positive side. Well, we teach them the Word of God, and we train them in the Word of God, that they'll stay within it. Yes, but also the opposite is also true. If we guide them in a path that is wrong and incorrect and rebellious, they won't depart from it and be destroyed. That is an important truth. But tonight, let's focus on how do we get them into that positive path. Well, let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing tonight. Dear Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight. We thank you for your word. I pray that you would instruct us tonight and that, Lord, we be committed as parents, as future parents, as grandparents, that we're willing to put the work in to see our children and grandchildren and the children that we pray you bless us with in the future, to guide them in the right path, to direct them in what you would have for them to do. I pray that you would bless our time tonight. Give me the words to say. Open our hearts, dear Lord, and that these truths from your word would not be lost on us, Lord, but that we would understand them and that we would apply them and live by them in our families. And, Lord, you promise a blessing. And, Lord, we know that your word will transform our lives and our children and our homes. We thank you for it, and we pray for it tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Governing a child. Now, as parents, as we see the need for discipline in our children's lives, the need for controls, if you will, now is the moment of truth that we see what are we willing to do, to what lengths are we willing to go to see our children turn out for the Lord. And it's no secret, children need structure, children need discipline. And tonight, more on what I'm talking about is implementing discipline and three major areas of a child's life. Now, we can have a long list of rules we have in our home, but usually all of these rules will apply in three basic areas. So we're going to look at first three basic rules. Three basic rules. And these are rules that are not revolutionary. You've heard them all before. But if you follow these three rules in your home, you follow these three rules, and these are biblical principles. These aren't rules I made up, but these are biblical principles. If you follow them, you have won more than half the battle with your children. And all of the rules of your home flow out of these three things, okay? So if you follow these rules and you enforce them with your children, that if the child breaks these rules, that they are punished for them every single time without exception. That, and what I mean by punishment, I'm talking about a spanking. I'm not talking about a flogging. I'm not talking about a whipping with a whip. I'm not talking about a beating senseless. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a controlled disciplinary measure with a rod, as the Bible says, on the posterior of your child. That is why they are built with padding there. That's what it is for. Okay? I think we'd all agree to that. Some people might not agree, but it's still the truth. And we're going to get into more of that a little bit later. So if a child breaks these three rules, first of all, you got to teach it to them first. That's an important part with discipline. You got to teach them the rules first. But if they break them, that they are punished every single time. Each of these rules is a biblical principle, and discipline begins with external restraints on children. Fancy way of saying rules. What do you mean, Pastor? This is sermons about rules? Yes, we all have them. We all live by them, right? At least we're supposed to. The Word of God has restraints on what we can and cannot do. And rules tend to restrain the old nature. And guess what? The old nature does not like it. Your children, especially if they've not been asked to follow these rules, will not like these rules. Okay? But I just want to put something out here. Rules are not there for our children's enjoyment. They will appreciate them when they learn to obey them. And when many times, it might be years down the road, they will say, thank you, Mom and Dad, for making me follow these three biblical principles. Because out of this comes everything else in their life. And it's extremely relevant that these are followed tonight. So, rules must be, that you have in your home, must be three things. They must be wise. Wise rules, not silly rules or rules that are extreme, but wise rules. They must be just, fair rules, okay? And they must be simple rules. So these three rules are really simple, very easy to understand, and very easy for any child to understand. So here we go. Rule number one. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1. Rule number one, in every Christian's home. Okay, so what I'm going to give this to you as is, you're talking to your children. Rule number one. Now, should I do a quiz of what do we think it is? What is it, Isaiah? All right, obedience. That's right. We always. Notice how I want you to underline the word always. We always obey. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1. We always obey, no matter what. Ephesians 6, 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Righteousness. This is the righteousness of God that children are to obey the parents. And now, if a child is given a rule and they break that rule and they're allowed to break that rule, that's the child's fault. Incorrect. That's the parent's fault. Rule number one, we always obey. Few things are more fundamental than teaching a child to obey. Not when they want to. We always obey. When? Right away. Not when they feel like it, not when they get around to it, but right when you say. Remember, you are teaching them to obey you so that they will obey God. If you fail in this, you will lose them forever. I'll repeat that again. If you do not teach them to obey you, they'll never obey God. That is the important truth here. And that, well, I just don't want to control their every move. They need that. They need to obey the rules. They need to obey you. Well, why? We're going to get to that in a minute. Why? It's because God said so. But the rules that we have are what? They're wise, they're just, and they're simple. And a child, if you tell them to do something, they need to do it. That's pretty simple, isn't it? If you tell them to go and sit down, they go and sit down. If you tell them to come to you, they come to you. You tell them to go to bed, they go to bed. You tell them to eat their dinner, they eat their dinner. You tell them whatever you tell them to do, you tell them to stand on their head, they do it. That's kind of a silly example, but remember what I said, that's not a wise rule, right? But still, you tell your children to do something, they come to you. Tell your child to come out of the street, right? They come to you. No, I'll just let them do whatever they want. Well, that's a different kind of obedience, Pastor. When does the Bible say there's different types of obedience? You obey right away. The same way that we are to obey God right away. Jonah didn't obey God right away, did he? And consequences came into his life. We're to teach our children to obey right away. This is the key to spiritual life. Look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. And that you as a parent must, I can emphasize this enough, must require your children to obey you and obey you right away. You must. If you do not, you are failing as a parent. You have failed your children if you do not make them obey right away. But Pastor, but what if they don't want to? Then they are disciplined right away for it. They are spanked for it. Time out won't work. That's not in the Bible. Putting them in the corner won't work. That's not in the Bible. A spanking is the biblical requirement for breaking obedience to God. And we'll look at that in a minute. Romans 6, verse 16. Romans 6, verse 16. Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. So if your children, if you let your children disobey you, you are letting them obey the devil and their own flesh. And they are sinning, and you're allowing them to work on righteousness as parents who remember the Bible study. What do we train our children to do? Do what? What do we train our children to do? Who remembers? Obey, but we're to bring them up to do that which is right. Righteousness. So if we as parents, well, I want them to learn righteousness, but we don't expect them to obey, which if they are disobedient, that is unrighteousness, we're defeating the purpose we're trying to go for. You need to make them obey so that they can do the righteousness of God. All children say, by the way, I'm just going to drop a bomb right here. All children say, I don't want to. Your child's not special in that. Every single child has said that at one time or another. Guess what? Adults say it. That's part of our flesh and our nature. I don't want to. If a child is very rebellious, they'll defiantly say, no, I'm not going to do it. If a child does not obey, they will receive a spanking. Look at back at Proverbs 22, Proverbs 22 and verse number 15. Proverbs 22 and verse number 15. This is one of the cardinal rules of your home. If they break it, they get disciplined right away. Now, if there's a rule that you have and perhaps they forgot. Maybe it's a new rule, and they forgot. Sometimes that is an acceptable excuse. Sometimes. However, many times as parents, we use that, well, they just didn't understand. Children understand a lot more than you think. And And if they have done this, maybe the first time it's a new rule, they forgot. But then they disobey. 2 minutes later, they didn't forget. They're just trying to lie to you. They didn't forget. They just want to see if you're serious. Guess what? If you stay on top of them in that and they get a spanking a couple times in a row, guess what? They're very unlikely they're going to do it again. But Pastor, I don't want to crush their spirit. That's a bunch of worldly philosophy garbage. Because what will happen, the more you discipline your children, the more they love you. That goes against what the world thinks. All your kids are going to, my kids are going to hate me. That's a lie. That's a straight out lie from the pit of hell. If you discipline them in the right way, not screaming and yelling and in anger, but if you do it in a controlled way and you let your children know that you love them, guess what? They're going to love you more. More, and the love's going to grow because they know that you care about them and that you are trying to train them to do what's right. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bad in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. It doesn't say the naughty match of correction shall drive it far from them. Was it super nanny, the naughty mat? It'll drive it far from them. No, it is the standing in the corner. No, giving them a 15-minute lecture and embarrassing them and tearing them down is going to correct them. No, it's the rod of correction. They're corrected and they're done. Look at Proverbs 29, verse 15. Proverbs 29, verse 15. Proverbs 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Meaning, if you leave them to disobey, they're going to bring you to shame one day. There are many parents that have cried many tears, and because they have left their child to themselves, left them to disobey, now they're brokenhearted. Their teenager is an adult now, or they're a young adult now, and they are out in sin, doing their own thing, not caring one little bit about what their parents think, because they didn't care one little bit about what their parents thought, because you let them disobey. That's where the path ends. Use wisdom. Now they do forget. But flagrant disobedience is always, underline that again, always punished. Willful, flagrant disobedience is always punished. You tell them to come to you and they turn around and walk away, that is punished every single time. When you tell them, come here, oh, I'll come here in a minute, that is disobedience. You tell them, no, you come right now, and they don't come, that's disobedience. You need to tell them, and it's okay, time for a spanking. Well, I don't want a spanking. You know, no child in the right mind wants one. Amen? I don't think any child says, oh, I want to go get disciplined. No, but you need to use wisdom, though. When they disobey, and you know they disobeyed, and it's flagrant disobedience, there is no exceptions. They need to be disciplined. And you need to explain the disobedience. Let's say, for example, a child does something wrong. You told them not to do something, right? Let's just say, well, I told you not to leave that ball on the table because you're going to bed, right? We tell our children to leave things at different places. Leave that ball right here and you can get it in the morning, but I want you to leave the ball right there on the table. But then you go into your bedroom and they're getting ready for bed and they go out there and they decide, well, I want to have the ball in my room because I want it to be closer to me in the morning, right? Now, they pick up the ball and take it to their room. Now, let me ask a question. Is it a bad thing that they picked up the ball and took it to their room? Is it or is it not? Is that a sinful act? Or is it simple because you told them not to do it? That's the important distinction to make with a child. Now, is it a bad thing that they picked up a ball and took it to their room? No. It's wrong because you told them not to do it. Disobedience is the reason they're being punished, not because they picked up a ball, but because you told them not to do it. Make sure you make them understand that you're punishing the disobedience in their heart through that action. So that's rule number one. Rule number two. So rule number one is what? We always obey. Rule number two, we never lie. We never lie. Look at Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. We never lie. ever. Well, it was just a little white lie. No such thing. That's a lie of the devil, too. There's no such thing as a little white lie. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. What does it say about the heart? Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Also, we see in John 8, 44 that Satan is the father of lies. You know who said that? Jesus did. He's the father of lies. Dishonesty and deceit is satanic. It is to never be tolerated. Make sure, first of all, though, and this goes with all rules in your home, make sure you're the example first. Make sure you don't lie. Your children know when you do. Oh, they don't pick up on it. Oh, yeah, they do. They know when you're deceiving. They know when you lie. So don't expect them to say, don't you ever lie. Then when someone calls or someone comes to the door, oh, tell them I'm not home. Or tell them I'm in bed when you're not. Tell them to go lie for you. Don't expect them to do what's right and not to lie when you make them lie for you. It's wicked and wrong. Be the example. Be honest. Make sure you're the example. Look at Proverbs 20, verse 17. Proverbs 20, verse 17. I don't have to take a long time to explain this. I think we all know as Christians we're not to lie. Amen? I think that's a pretty established fact. But don't allow it in your children. Proverbs 20 and verse 17. Proverbs 20 and verse 17. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. You know what? Maybe we think when we can deceive our children or deceive different ones, but you know what? Our children know, and you know what? They're not going to listen to you. They're going to say, why am I not able to lie when mom and dad do? And whenever I see a child in church, whether it's on the bus or in children's church or different things, and I was even in the Christian school, they lie without batting an eyelash. And, you know, children will do that, no matter even the best of children. They'll lie without batting an eyelash. But there were some that just had the habit of lying. You know why? Because mom and dad lie. I asked a child that one day, oh, my dad lies. My mom lies. So I do too. Just kind of like, oh. So, I never taught them to lie. You don't have to. But they just think, well, my mom and dad tell me never to lie. But they lie, so I lie. Don't blame your children for the sin you commit. Stop doing it and teach them not to do it. Don't ever lie. A lie is automatic discipline by spanking. No matter what. Always. We never lie, and it's always punished if they do. You know what? The best of children will try and lie. It is our nature to try and lie to get out of trouble. That's our nature. Pasture. Yes, it is. Even the most innocent-looking child. You know, maybe we have an angelic little girl. They would never lie to me. You're under a false assumption. They will. You know what? Some children that are cute, they know it's their advantage. They know that, oh, my parents never think I would lie. I would do wrong. But they do. And they need to be disciplined for it, no matter how cute, no matter how innocent. Oh, it was an innocent lie. Listen to yourself. An innocent lie. Is any lie innocent? Did Satan give Eve an innocent lie? Lying is wrong and sin. No such thing as an innocent lie. Rule number three. We always, underline always. Now here is where many Christian parents fail on this one right here. Number one, obey. Okay, we do that. We never lie. Oh, Pastor, we never lie in our house. Number three, we always respect our parents. We always respect our parents. 1 Samuel 15, verse 23. Because respect, now I'm talking about disrespect, defiance, or sassing, are not to be tolerated at any time. Now, boys, especially, who is the person that they disrespect and sass the most? Let's hear it. Mom! Right? And girls, they know that they sass and they're defined in a different way. Because boys are just, well, I'm not going to do it. Girls are like, oh, Dad, please. Oh, Dad, I'm really sorry. You know, and they do it in a different way. But is it to be tolerated? never. Always respect your parents. 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath rejected thee from being king. Talking to Saul. We know that passage. That's exactly what rebellion is. And dads, your job is to not tolerate it. The fastest way to a spanking in our house was if we were back-talking mom or sassing mom, we were out with my father. Especially when he came out of his laboratory and he heard us doing that and we're right in the middle of doing it. He's standing behind us. We turn around. Uh-oh. We knew it wasn't going to be, well, son, just don't do that. We know it wasn't, now, son, that isn't the right thing to do. Now, you apologize and you go and do what you're supposed to do. No, it's, come here. Let's go. But, Dad, nope, we're going. Spanking every time. But what happens is boys love to frustrate their mothers. Did you know that? Did you know that? That boys like to do that. And like to try and push and see if they can push and push and push. Dads, don't tolerate it. If Dad, you're not home, Mom says, okay, you're going to get dealt with when your dad gets home. We know what that means. But that's many times what happens. Moms, you need to deal with it. Well, I'll just wait till your dad gets home. Well, I can't give them a spanking hard enough to get their attention. You're waited too late then. You can get a hold of them. And moms, you need to give them a spanking. I'm not saying beat the tar like they never forget. You know, we need to be in a controlled way. We're going to get to that in a minute. But dad, think about this. Well, I have a real trouble with my sons respecting my wife. Let me ask you a question. Do you disrespect your wife in front of them? Are you disrespectful? Do you poke fun? Do you sass them? Do you have a disrespectful attitude? Well, yeah, they're going to do what you do. So don't spank them for something you do to her already. Amen. So you fix it. By the way, you should never make fun of your wife in front of your kids. You know what? Every time I've done it, guess what? My son makes fun of her that day or the next day. So you can't do that. Oh, Dad, you did. I got to police myself here. Don't ever disrespect or denigrate the position of mom. Mom is to be revered above all. Amen. She cooks your food. She cleans your clothes. Right? Why don't you... Careful, might put something in your food, you know. Got to be careful of that. Always worried about that with my mom. Is she going to put... No, she never did anything like that. But children are inborn with a rebellious and sassy spirit. Did you know that? Naturally, you don't have to do anything. They have tantrums and they sass and they need to be brought to swift punishment to discourage such behavior. If they fight the spank, if they fight and are defiant, well, I don't want a spanking, and they fight back against you, the spanking gets doubled. That will be very quick deterrent. They will learn not to do that, to fight the discipline. Well, what about the heart? We're going to get to that. But here's an important part of following these things. Now, if some of us are maybe out on the road and we get a speeding ticket, and the officer is giving us a ticket, and we say, well, I don't deserve this ticket. I don't know why you pick on me. You need to get those other people that are speed more than you do. And you know what you'll find? You know that police officers are allowed to increase your ticket? Because why? You disrespected them. And you know what you'll find? That those people, they did that to their parents. And their parents let them get away with it. But guess what? A judge isn't going to let you get away with it. Right? A police officer's not going to let you get away with it. Don't let your children get away with it. Disrespecting mom. Mom also goes true. Don't disrespect dad. Be an example. And don't let that happen We always respect our parents. So rule number one is what? We always what? Rule number two, we never. Rule number three, we always respect our parents. Very good. Okay, so that is three basic rules. Now, go on to point number two, basic enforcement. Now, this, unfortunately, is the example of the typical Christian family that perhaps it's time for bed. Let's use the example of bedtime or the example of just taking out the trash or doing something that a child naturally has the inclination or the flesh has an inclination against doing, right? If a child is having fun, they don't want to go to bed. If they're busy or they're tired or they're interested in doing something, they don't want to take out the smelly trash, okay? But this is what happens is you give your child an instruction. Okay, son, go out and take out the trash. I'm watching my television program. I'm playing my video game. I'll do it in a minute. Okay, a couple minutes go by. I told you to take out the trash. Get out and do it right now. I don't want to. And then what happens? Son, I told you to get up and get the trash. You do it right now or you're going to get a whipping. I don't want to. So what's happening? Is anything, any progress being made? No. Just the volume's going up. And you know what should have happened? When that child said, I'll do it in a minute, discipline happens. That's disobedience. That's also a defiant spirit. I'll do it when I'm ready. That's what the child is telling you. I'll do it when I want. No, that child drops everything and does what we say when we say. That is the typical Christian family in America today. Now, is it the child's fault for doing wrong? No, it's the parents' fault for letting him. And you're not teaching them to follow the rules. You're allowing them to disobey. And also, you're provoking them to wrath by raising your voice. Look at Ephesians 6:4. Ephesians 6:4. Ephesians 6:4. Any fathers? Why is this addressed to men? Because men have a tendency, when someone doesn't listen to us, we raise the volume to get people to listen. That's a kind of a natural part of us. Maybe they didn't hear me. Oh, they heard you. They just didn't want to do what you said. So raising the volume is not going to help any. Ephesians 6:4. Any fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So don't provoke them to wrath. Also, look at Colossians chapter number 3 and verse 21. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 21. Another verse about that. Colossians 3:21. Fathers. Wow. This must be something that fathers need to work on. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, this applies to mom, too. Because mom can lose her cool. Mom can get upset. And why do we raise our voice? What's the number one reason we raise our voice? We're getting frustrated. That they're not complying. That's not the answer. Getting frustrated, raising your voice, yelling and screaming, hooting and hollering is not fixing anything. All you're doing is provoking your children to wrath, bitterness, and more rebellion. That's all you're doing. Brother Kuma wrote a booklet on anger and how it is destroying homes. He says, home after home after home, parent after parent who have lost their kids, they lost them all because of anger. Because of being angry and yelling and screaming, you'll drive your kids away. That's not needed. Deal immediately when rules are breached. If they did something to make you angry and upset, cool off before you deal with it. Don't ever discipline your children in anger or yell at them. But Pastor, you don't understand. If I deal immediately when the rules are breached, I'd have a battle on my hands. I've let them go. I'm going to have a battle. Yes, you are. It's better to win the battle than lose the war. Because if you let them continue on, well, it's too late for me. It's not too late. I'm telling you what, especially if you haven't been following these rules as a parent and you start enforcing them, man, there is going to be a people in your home for a little bit. Because what? I've been allowed to do this and all of a sudden I can't do it. And that's what parents are afraid of. A people. You've got to count the cost and you've got to put the work in and you can win it. I promise you, you can. You can win it with the Lord's help. You can win the battle. But if you let it, I just don't want to cause a fuss. I don't want to cause a battle. Then you've lost. It's done. Throw in the towel. It's over. You've got to win the battle of obedience, of not lying, and of respecting. And there's rules that go along with this. Please don't do this. You know, we have safety and we have different rules like that. What I'm talking about, if you enforce the rules, then you will save your children. The earlier the enforcement, you'll find out the easier it is. The littler they are, 2, 3, Pastor, they don't understand what it is not to lie. Oh, yes, they do. They know what it is to obey and disobey. You know what? There's been many a child. You know what? I used to have a 2-year-old at one time. Caleb's 7 now almost, but he was 2 years old. I'll never forget this. And I told him to come. He knew what it was to come. He had come many, many, many times. And he looked at me and he smiled. And he walked the other way. I'm like, oh, no, he didn't. Oh, that's cute. Some people around me at the time, we were in church, I think it was up in Indiana. No, it was here. And said, oh, that's cute. I didn't think it was cute. And you know what? He got picked up. And he got a pop on his leg. And he thought the world was over. But guess what? He didn't do it again. Because I wasn't going to let disobedience begin to take seed in his heart. The earlier you start, I'm not saying don't have unrealistic expectations. But unfortunately in America, we have no expectations for 2- and 3- and 4-year-old kids. You have zip. Oh, and now they eat and you wonder why at 4 years old they got food in their hair and they eat like pigs. Because their parents didn't expect anything out of them. By the way, children can use utensils at like 3 years old. Did you know that? They can't even train them. It takes, but Pastor, it's so hard. Anything with children is hard work, but it's worth it. You need to take the time. The earlier the enforcement, the easier it is. The rules also must consistently be enforced. I'm now importance of consistency. If it was wrong Monday, then it's wrong Tuesday and Wednesday. If they're punished for it on Monday, then they get away with it Tuesday and Wednesday. They're not going to listen to your rule. Consistently enforce it. And you know what? Kids will push and they will pick the most inconvenient time to disobey. They say, wait a minute, we've got about 3 minutes until we leave for church. If I do this, they won't have time to give me a spanking. You have to nip that in the bud. They get a spanking and you're late to church. All right? Amen. Because then they're going to find out, I better not try that again. And you repeat, and you repeat, and you repeat, and you repeat, and you repeat until the lesson is learned. Is it okay to give a warning for a new rule? Absolutely, yes. If you're implementing new things, give a warning or two, not a 20 or 30. Right? But they don't get it. They just can't grasp it. They just can't. You ask them to remember where their new toy is. They know where it is. They can remember a rule you give to them. But if you don't expect your children to listen and obey you, then they won't. Rules must be wisely and fairly enforced. One of the things to do, don't punish a child for being clumsy, for spilling their milk or dropping something or breaking something. Don't punish them for that. It's an accident. You make mistakes too. Now, if you told them, be careful with that glass, and they look at you and they hold it out and they just drop it, that's disobedience, okay? That's not clumsiness. What a child would never do that. Oh, yes, they would. Some children do, and that needs to be nipped in the bud. They don't do it. Because with age comes better judgment and coordination. At least I think that's true. It's supposed to be true. So we start, there's number 3. Positive enforcement. Discipline is not all negative. There needs to be some positive enforcement. You need both positive and negative. In order for your car to work, you need a positive and a negative on the battery, right? You need some positive enforcement. Not just positive enforcement. Oh, I'm one of those love people, Pastor. We just love the children. That's true. That's positive enforcement number 1. Show them you love them. Not the, I love my children too much to spank them. Look at Proverbs 13, verse 24. Proverbs 13, verse 24. And this is 100% against Scripture. Proverbs 13, 24. Proverbs 13, 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth betimes. Betimes means early. Early on. Not later in life. Well, I'll give them a spanking when they turn 13. If you had to do it that late, then you missed the boat. It's over with. Behaviors that they exhibit at 12 and 13 and 14 years old started when they were 5 and 6 and 7 and 4 years old, even back to 2. I love my children too much that I am going to discipline them and teach them to do right. Also, there's a reason in our times that we have a lack of love. The Bible calls it a lack of natural affection for families and things. And you look at the news and you see what parents do to children and say, what in the world is going on? Why could they do such a thing? Matthew 24, verse 12 says this. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Sin causes a lack of love. In many Christian homes, there's a lack of love because sin is there. Sin of pride, sin of anger, you name it. Sin will cause a lack of love. So show them you love them. A child should never wonder if they are loved or not. It is possible to enforce discipline in a cold and calculated way, in an industrial type of way, so that they do not feel loved. If you believe that children cannot be disciplined in a loving way, you are deceived. You can discipline your children and they know that you love them and care about them and you want them to do right. And tell them, I love you so much that I'm going to teach you that this is wrong and you're not going to do this because God says it's wrong because this is the wrong thing to do. I love you so much. And there are times that we see children in Walmart and other places that, Mommy and Daddy, I want this. And, well, you come here, son. No, I want it, I want it. And they throw a tantrum. Okay, because I love you, son, I'm going to buy this for you. You don't love them. You're just trying to soothe your own conscience. You don't care about them. If you cared about them, you'd train them to turn out right because you're sending them down a path that will destroy them. That's the world's version of love. Don't buy into it. Number two, teach rules or policies ahead of time. Base principles on what is right. Righteousness, biblically. Teach it before a problem crops up. If you're new to enforcing these three basic rules or any other rule, teach a rule first. A pastor, when his daughter turned 13, they had a new policy that they were introducing. And that child was not allowed to ride in a car with another teenager, alone. That's a good idea. Because and by the way, there are some teenagers that don't need to be driving by themselves, okay? We see that all the time, right? And that was a rule that they had. I think it's a good one. Because who knows what happens when they get all ramped up and they decide to do something stupid. Hey, let's try and beat this truck around the corner. Boom, and they end up dead. So that was a rule that they had. Well, that was a new thing. It was repeated several times, and then it was several weeks later that the father found out that the daughter came home from Christian school and was dropped off by a friend who was a teenager. And went to the daughter and said, did you come home drive in the car driven by a teenager? Yes, Dad. What have we been talking about? I'm not supposed to do it. Okay. She was 13 years old. Guess what? She got a spanking. And you know what? She never did it again. She realized it wasn't that she rode in a car. Is that a wrong thing? No. But because she did it when her dad said, don't do it. Disobedience. There is a positive and a negative side to all things. Also, another positive reinforcement is incentive to achieve good behavior. Have balance to this, though. Praise them. When they do right, tell them. Guess what? Children, if you just point out what's wrong in a child's life and you don't praise it when they did the right thing, maybe they've been struggling with following a certain rule, then they start following it. Praise them for it. Hey, you did a great job. Tell them you notice that they do right. If all you notice is negative thing, a child's going to get frustrated and say, what's the use? All I do is wrong. That's what they think. But you need to tell them, hey, you did this right. Good job. And praise them. Oh, there is a reward for righteousness in the Bible. Amen? There is. And you need to teach them that. Not saying, okay, you did great. Here's your dollar. Here's your 50. Here's your special big prize. Here's your ice cream cone. Now, there are times that when we can do that sparingly, because when you do that all the time, what do? You teach them, oh, if I do right, I get paid. Pastor, do children think like that? 100% yes. Do you think like that? Man, if I gave out $5 for riding the bus every week or teaching a Sunday school class, man, I'd have a line this long. Man, it's a pastor. Are you sure? Yes. People would be motivated by that. Man, when instead of doing it for the Lord and doing it because it's right, there's a balance to that. Positive reinforcement. Number four, be a positive example. You be the example of teaching them what's right. And that brings number four, negative enforcement. We've been talking about spanking. I'm just going to say a couple things about this. Punishment must always exceed the pleasure or the enjoyment of the wrongdoing. Meaning, if you give a very light punishment, they're going to think it's worth it. Hey, I got away with it. That wasn't so bad. That is why you cannot use timeout in the corner, because they just sat down on the ground for a little bit. That was worth it. It's worth it. You know what? If I know that if I did something wrong, all God's going to do to me is just set me on the corner for a few minutes and nothing's going to happen to me, hey, we do it again. That wasn't so bad. But the punishment must always exceed the pleasure of what the wrongdoing was. So that's how we have the, depending on the offense, there's sometimes a worse punishment, depending on what it was. You know what we've used spanking? Well, that's the last minute resort for things that are really bad, like lying and stealing. But everything else is just a verbal warning. If they disobeyed you, that's a big deal. Because does God just give us a stern talking to and let us go on our way when we disobey? Well, according to the new evangelicals, that's what God does. Oh, God doesn't care. You know where we get that philosophy? Because parents, you don't need to care about that. As long as they love God. What does that even mean? When they say, well, they can do what they want. They just need to love God. What does that mean? I don't know. We just need to love God. We just need to worship together, man. These are the answers people give you. Yeah, I start asking them, well, we just got to have the love, man. Where's the love? Where's the love? We just need to be together in love. And that's all they say. Well, I just love my kids. I let them do what they want. So you're going to let them, we talked about the rattlesnake in the pocket this morning. So you're going to let them have a rattlesnake? No. Well, they might die. Why? Well, because I love them. So you're going to take the rattlesnake away from them because you love them. Then take away the sins that are in their life and the flesh, the lust of the flesh, because you love them, because they're just as dangerous as that rattlesnake. They're just as dangerous as that, as a real snake there. Negative enforcement. You know, we've seen many people do it. I've done it. That when they do something wrong, I just want to give them a warning. You just give them a swat with your hand, and they jump out and how, oh! And you know what? Guess what? That swat did not hurt a bit. They're just mad because you defied their wrongdoing. They didn't hurt a bit. It doesn't work. Spankings need to be consistent, need to have a standard place. In our house is our bedroom. Go to the bedroom. Why say that? Caleb knows what's coming. Have a standard place. Some people might be at the bathroom. Try not to do it in their room, because that's where they sleep and that's where their place is. Try not to make their place a place of discipline. Make it in the living room or make it in the bathroom or another place like that. Try not to do it in their room. Have standard rules. How many swats are they going to receive based on age? You know what? If they're like a little four-year-old, they shouldn't be getting like 30 swats, okay? That's not good. Have a reasonable amount, a just member. It must be wise, just, and simple, okay? Make sure you have those standards put out there. Never in anger or out of control. A children should never see you take you and get disciplined for when you snatch them up and you put them in there and you wail on them and there's that there, that'll teach you not to do that. You know what they did? You know what they just learned? They did not learn anything about the thing that they did. They didn't learn anything about the disobedience or the lying or whatever it was. All they learned was, well, I made mom and dad mad, so they just spanked me. That's all they learned. So I better not make mom and dad mad. They didn't learn anything about what they did wrong. They just learned that they just made you mad and you give them a spanking when you get mad. That's all you taught them. They didn't teach them anything. So as long as they don't make mom and dad mad, and you know what's going to happen, then your children are going to be tiptoeing around and walking on eggshells. Try not to make you mad so they don't get a spanking again. You did not teach them the right thing. Always in control. If they've made you upset, you know, because you know what? Sometimes our children do things and we get upset. That is universal among parents. We get upset. We need to get under control and go in not with an angry spirit or a nasty spirit or I'm just going to get them under my thumb. That's not the idea of discipline. The idea is to teach them to do which is right according to God's word. And also do it soon after the offense. Don't do it 5 hours later. They forgot all about it. Do it soon as you can. You know what? My dad said, I'll pull off the road and give you a spank right on the side of the road. I don't know if you could do that. I don't know if I recommend that today. I have pulled off the street and I've gone into a back road somewhere and done that. Hoping there wasn't a security camera in the bush, but, you know, took care of it. Because we're on a trip. I mean, it's going to be 5-6 hours before we got to the place. I had to take care of it. You know what? If you don't take care of it, the child learns, hey, when I'm on a trip, I can get away with stuff. Because nothing happens. So I have this window of time that I can do whatever I want. Nothing's going to happen to me. No, that needs to be taken care of. And you know what? I never thought my dad would actually pull over to the side of the road until one day I found out he would. Guess what? I never pushed it again because you think, Dad, you're going to spank me. You pulled me out. Spank me in front of the road in front of all these people. He did. Never did it again. Soon after the offense. Like I said, I don't ever recommend that with the dad. This is before the day of smartphones and child abuse on the side of the road, right? And that's what people are going to do today, unfortunately, the stupidness of today. But also, very important, show them that you love them afterwards. Don't be mad at them. Don't make them feel they have to earn back your love. Love them. Give them a hug. Say, I love you. It's over. And the child goes away. Well, I don't want them going away happy. They need to go away that they're forgiven. They need to ask for forgiveness especially. But have them walk away knowing that they're forgiven. And that they're okay, even though they did that which is wrong. Isn't that what we do when we come to Jesus? We come and ask for forgiveness, and we walk away joyful with the burden lifted because we know that we're okay. Your children need to have that too. So here's the conclusion tonight. Pastor, this is a bit tall order. This is tough. Yes, it is. But it's a necessary responsibility. Will you follow the biblical model? Will you lovingly govern your child? If you haven't been, Pastor, this is going to be a fight. Yes, it will. I promise you it will be a fight, but it will be a battle that you'll never regret fighting, and with the Lord's help winning, you'll never regret doing it, because when after the battle is over, peace is in your home. There is order to your home. There is peace in it. You know, we feel like we're going to have to spank our children 50 times a day for the rest of their life. No, you won't. Eventually, they'll get it. I do this every single time I get a spanking. They'll stop doing it. If it's a habit, habits are hard to break. Now, I think all of us in here, perhaps, maybe not all, but I think all of us have had an experience with getting burned. And maybe you got burned by an oven or you got burned by something. Maybe you were playing with a lighter when you were a kid and you found out that it burns you. But after you got burned that one time, maybe you got burned on an oven or maybe you got burned in some other way. Did you ever do that again? Someone said, yeah. Okay, maybe you're a little more stubborn. But most of us say, no, I didn't do it again. Why? Well, it hurt. We have an aversion to pain and things that hurt. And a child that if they keep coming up against this and they get a spanking, they're going to say, I don't want to do this anymore. Because it's not enjoyable. The spanking is to take the enjoyment out of sin. just like chastisement of the Lord takes the enjoyment out of sin. The same way, you're teaching an important spiritual principle. Will you lovingly govern your child? Maybe you haven't been following these things. Maybe over time we've gotten soft. Even the best parent gets soft. Okay? Even the best grandparent gets soft. Okay? Especially grandparents. Because they're my grandchildren. They're so lovable. Right? And then what do your kids say? Well, you never let me do that. Oh, but they're, it's them. You know, it's my grandkids. Don't fall into it. It's easy to do. We all can get soft. By the way, parents, when your kids are at grandma and grandma's house, the rules still apply. And make sure you teach them that. Oh, I get to go to grandma's house. Whoopee, I can do what I want. Nope, you got to teach them that they do what's right even there. They do what's right in the house of God. They do what's right out in public. You know what? Children love an audience. Did you know that? You know what? They act fine at home. What happens when I get them to church and I get them out in the public? They just all of a sudden decide that they just want to do whatever they want. You know why? They're testing you to see if you're really serious about what you've been teaching them. You do it at home. Well, mom and dad will never do it to me in public. Yeah, teach them. Oh, yes, you will. They'll take care of it. Take it to a private place. They'll take care of it. Whenever it's done, at home, at school, at church, or out at Walmart, they'll take care of it. Consistency. Follow through. What's rule number one? We always what? Obey. Number rule number two. You can say it. It's okay. Rule number one, we always what? Rule number two, we never. Rule number three, we always respect our parents. Now that goes for other authority figures too. You know why? And I know this. Whenever I talk to a teenager or a young person, and I'm talking to them about something maybe they've done wrong, or talking to them about something I'm concerned about, and they get all bristly and they get disrespectful, you know what I learned? Their parents never taught them to respect authority. They never respect their parents. You know what? That's exactly what they do to their parents. Instead of saying, oh, yes, sir. No, sir. Oh, I'm sorry I did that. That shows you taught them respect. Well, what are you to tell me that? It's none of your business. Guess what? They said those exact words to their parents many times over, and the parents let them do it. Don't let your children do that. You know what? There was one time, I'm ashamed to say, that I said something like that to my dad. It's none of your business. You can't make me. I was 20 years old almost. Guess what? I regretted saying that even at 20 years old. You know, my dad said, you don't have to live in my house then. I'm too old to spank. He said, then you don't have to live in my house. You will respect me and your mother, because it all stemmed that I had disrespected my mom over something else. My dad said, if you're going to do that, then you can leave my house. And I thought he wasn't serious. He said, I'm serious. Go find a place to live. We'll forgive you, and that's fine. But if you are going to disrespect us in our house, you will leave. And you know what? I thought about it, and I was very repentant, and I cried. I could bawl my eyes like a baby. I was like 8 years old again. Dad, I'm sorry, and everything. And he gave me a hug, and we got all worked out, but he wasn't going to back down. And you know what? I never, ever disrespected him again. Because I didn't. I thought all of it. You know, sometimes young people, we say stuff that's stupid, and we don't realize it's stupid till later. And then I realized, am I really going to ruin my relationship with my father over this? No. Do what's right. And mom and dad, hold the line. Obedience is the same whether they're 2 or they're 20. It doesn't matter. Hold the line. Teach them to obey. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless our invitation time tonight, dear Lord, and important principles for governing our children. I pray that tonight we would be faithful to them and we would rededicate ourselves to them. And Lord, that we would do what is right in your eyes and not what's right in our own. are right in the world's eyes. Whatever it may be, dear Lord, I pray that we take these tools and we would use them for your glory and your honor. Lord, we want to see young people and children that turn out for you. We want to see our kids be successful in their spiritual walk with you. We want to see them be successful in their life. And Lord, only you can bring that about if we follow your prescription. If we teach them to obey, teach them to do that which is right. Teach them to shun evil and lying. And to show respect unto authorities in their lives so that they may respect you. I pray, dear Lord, you would bless and direct tonight. Guide and direct us. And I pray, Lord, if there's anything we need to leave at the altar, that we take it to you tonight. Casting all our care upon you, dear Lord, because you care for us. We pray that we would be faithful to do that tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.